As DC crime rate nosedives, Mayor Bowser changes her tune on the Trump takeover.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome to Seculo, and that's right. You're going to hear some of the sound coming from Mayor Bowser, not exactly the person you think that would be praising President Trump or President Trump's plan on what ended up being the D.C. takeover, if you will, which of course has now resulted in some pretty staggering facts and figures. I think even those who maybe questioned the validity of the idea of going in and doing this now have to take a step back when you have had the better part of 10 days, 12 days, 15 days with no murder. I think they said a 87% drop right. in carjacking. I mean, these are staggering figures from one of the nation's most dangerous cities. I mean, everyone knows this. Washington, D.C. Has always had a crime issue pretty much since its existence, but really in the last 50, 60 years, there's always been issues in Washington, D.C., and President Trump and the Trump administration had enough, controversially called in the National Guard, called in all of these things, kind of federalized it, even brought in the National Guard from other states. We had J.B. McCuskey from West Virginia, and a lot of states said, yeah, we're going to come and help out, especially neighboring areas. I mean, it really is a neighboring area, Washington, D.C., when you have Virginia and West Virginia in these areas. And now you have Mayor Bowser, again, someone that I don't think you'd expect to. I mean, when I heard this, I actually read the article first, and I turned to Will here, and I said, does she say this with, like, sarcasm, with laughs? And no, it's with what sounds to be complete sincerity. Let's just hear the quick bite one.
We greatly appreciate the surge of officers that enhance what MPD has been able to do in this city.
We greatly appreciate the surge of officers. That is not something you expect to hear. But then she goes on further on in her statement. We'll play more of that when we get back. More of those facts and figures that have come out of what has changed in Washington, D.C. Now you're going to see whether the Trump administration is going to figure out, can they take this to other cities? And of course, it gets a little harder because Washington, D.C. is controlled by the federal government.
That's right, Logan. And as you see, mayors across the country and governors, I think of Chicago and in the state of Illinois, with both the governor and mayor there holding press conferences, saying that Trump lives free, rent-free in the governor's mind, meanwhile was standing in front of Trump Tower in Chicago. You start to see the pushback from the party at large, and it's in stark contrast of how the tone in the words spoken by the mayor of D.C. And to be frank, I mean, the mayor of D.C. Has a little bit of the luxury, Jordan, of not really having control over the city in the way that others do.
But
she doesn't have to say it like this.
No, and she represents the real Washington, D.C. It's not the headquarters for the federal government and the headquarters for all the companies and downtown D.C. and law firms and lobbyists and businesses and defense contractors that really make up what you see when you go to Washington, D.C., maybe on a tourist visit, or if you've worked in Washington, D.C., or you have family that does. There's that corridor, which is already pretty much under federal control because those are all federal buildings. They have their own police force, the executive branch, different forces, the Supreme Court police, the Capitol Hill police. You've got the, of course, Secret Service. You've got all these police. That is a tiny percentage of Washington, D.C., and the rest of Washington, D.C. falls under Mayor Bowser. She's got to deal with that. She doesn't get that. So she's now getting the benefit of what a small part of D.C. has gotten for decades, so that her citizens, really the lifelong residents and families that have lived and grown up in D.C., are now getting the benefit of having the security that the kind of political side of Washington, D.C. has.
Yeah, the Hill. Phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. Maybe you live in one of these cities. Maybe you live in Chicago, San Francisco, New York, some of these areas that have become overly crime-riddled over the last number of years. What do you think? Do you want this to happen? I know it's controversial. And look, I think we could have all said, if it didn't work, going, okay, well, that's another policy change that we don't necessarily agree with because, look, it didn't work. But it is very hard to look at it and go, man, that didn't work. It certainly is working. We only have 3 days left, by the way, in our 35 years of victory drive, so I'm going to encourage you to make a donation if you can and have it doubled. We'll be right back with more on Seculo.
In the nearly 3 weeks since the National Guard's deployment to the nation's capital,
an analysis of crime data shows that violent crime since 1990, the ACLJ has established a legacy of victory, defending constitutional rights, protecting innocent life, and standing for freedom. From our offices in Washington, France, Jerusalem, and Pakistan, we've achieved major legal victories for organizations, churches, businesses, and families and individuals just like you. We've stood on Capitol Hill and before the U.S. Supreme Court and traveled all the way to the United Nations, helping to shape laws and policies at the highest levels. Now we face new battles, from saving persecuted Christians to defending pro-life laws at the Supreme Court. But we can't do it without you. This month, every dollar you give is doubled through our 35 years of victory drive. Be part of this critical moment. Give now at aclj.org/win. That's aclj.org/win.
Hey everyone, this is Jordan Seculo. You've spoken and we've heard you loud and clear. That's why this month we're doing something big. We're proud to announce our brand new ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive. Our legal teams will be focusing on the issues that you, our ACLJ members, have told us matter the most to you, life and religious liberty. We're redoubling our efforts to beat back the radical left's attack on your constitutional religious freedoms and to defend the sanctity of human life. Life and liberty are the cornerstones of our great nation, but they're not guaranteed. When the values we hold dear are under attack, it's up to all of us to take a stand or risk losing them forever. This is not just a call to fund our legal battles. This is your moment to get in the fight. Just as before, every tax-deductible gift will be doubled, dollar for dollar, through the ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive, giving you twice the impact to defend your freedoms and help us fight to literally save lives. Join the ACLJ in the fight to keep America free.
Secular phone lines are open for you, by the way, at 1-800-684-3110. I think we need to hear directly from Mayor Bowser from Washington, D.C. Again, not someone who's been a fan of conservatives, not a fan of President Trump, but comes out and makes some statements today and yesterday, really praising the administration and what they've done. What would you consider to be, when you see your social media posts, a lot of people are very concerned about maybe the federalization of the police force in Washington, D.C. Now, it's a little different in Washington, D.C. because of the way that the district is run. It's not a traditional state. It is a district, so it has control by the federal government. Now, when Donald Trump decides, I want to take this method to other cities and other states, that's where it's going to get interesting. That's where those fights, I'm sure, are going to begin. If you are in one of those cities or states, I want to hear from you, or maybe you're in the adjacent suburban area. I know we have a lot of listeners in the Los Angeles area. I know we have a lot of listeners in Chicago, in New York, in these San Francisco areas that have had this issue. Look, maybe you could turn to some in Texas. You could turn to Austin. You could turn to some of those areas that maybe could use some of this help. And I think it is a two-pronged effort here. You have the homeless crisis that's happening across the country, by the way, all over the place. We need to make sure that if these are people who can be need to be taken care of, whether that is having mental issues or need assistance for addiction, we need to make sure we take care of those people. We do. We need to do that's the right thing to do. But also, we want to make sure that the streets are not only clean, but they're safe. And that is a concern, specifically in the states like, or in areas like Washington, D.C., or where people are traveling, where they are your top tourist destinations in the country. But you had this moment where President Trump put in this very controversial place saying, we are going to take over the police force, essentially. We're going to come in. We're going to add more. We're going to do this, whether you like it or not. The federal government has control over Washington, D.C. And what you saw was mass success. And now that mass success, which includes, by the way, a very, very limited amount of high crime, including there was 10, 12 days with no murders. There is now been a significant drop in carjackings, nearly 90%. But again, I want you to hear from Mayor Bowser. So you know when I'm not just reading this and there's some sort of tone that you're catching, that maybe it's sarcastic or whatever it may be. Let's do bite one and then bite two right back to back.
And we greatly appreciate the surge of officers that enhance what MPD has been able to do in this city. For carjackings, the difference between this period, this 20-day period of this federal surge and last year represents a 87% reduction in carjackings in Washington, D.C. We know that when carjackings go down, when the use of gun goes down, when homicide or robbery go down, neighborhoods feel safer and are safer. So this surge has been important to us for that reason.
All right, Jordan, this is the Democrat mayor of D.C. No fan of President Trump. No. We know this. Really touting the numbers, an 87% drop in carjackings, and then goes on to talk about how the neighborhoods are safer and really praising what is happening with this surge. Here's a headline within the last week from CNN. Trump's D.C. takeover produces moderate drop in crime and a huge spike in immigration arrests.
Yeah, I guess they just didn't wait to hear from Washington, D.C.'s own government. When 87, you see what she said there. She's like, if you start out with the carjackings involve human beings and guns. So if you're down 87% in carjackings, almost 90%, that means less people who are getting injured or killed. So then you have less homicide. Less gun crimes. That means there's less people on the street with weapons who want to use them for criminal reasons. And that makes neighborhoods safer. It makes people feel safer about getting out of their car and into their car in places like Washington, D.C., which is usually when this happens. It's usually, and we're getting to that closer to that season when it gets dark early. And I will tell you, it doesn't really matter where you are in Washington. When it starts getting dark at 4:45, you can't see around these corners. It's not like New York always, so you don't always feel like there's 100 people around you. You can feel kind of isolated very quickly there if you get to your street, your block. And so that kind of reduction, it was interesting because I was there on Tuesday, and I saw the protest against this. And these are the constituents that would be voting for Mayor Bowser. Again, they weren't waiting to see the actual results are no one's being targeted because of their race or because of the color of their skin or because of their neighborhood. It's citywide, and it's the people who actually live in Washington their whole lives. It's not the people who are there for 3 years. It's good for them too, for the people who come and go with politics. But there are 90% of Washingtonians live there, kids go to school there, and work there, and they stay. And those are the individuals that want to make sure it's not just those key areas that are safe, but that the regular neighborhoods in Washington and even some of the tougher neighborhoods in Washington are safer from gun crimes. I mean, that's what we're talking about here is carjacking. You know, 87% down is a huge number.
Huge number. In Washington, D.C., again, you may picture just Capitol Hill, but you have areas that have had been crime riddled for decades.
Oh,
there are areas you do not go to. There's areas you do not go to. And that's unfortunate. That's unfortunate in any city, but it's just the facts. It's what's going on. And to be honest, probably a lot of us just kind of wrote it off. It's like, that's just the way the city is going to be. That's just the way Chicago is going to be. That's just the way New York is going to be. There are areas you just don't go to and you play it safe. But now we see that there's actually an option to change these areas and to actually affect change in a positive direction. I don't know. This could be a big moment.
Well, and one thing they're looking at too is moving the Washington Commanders, I have to say that right, back to RFK and redoing RFK. RFK is kind of the end of Capitol Hill. I mean,
stadium,
it's pretty far back.
Yeah.
And when
last time I was there, I felt like it was crumbling, but let's...
to redo that area to then... again, they've redone the waterfront in D.C. on Capitol Hill. Mm-hmm. That made that area, again, just another area with a lot of new jobs and a lot of new places to live. If you did that around RFK Stadium, again, kind of this rebuild of that area, you're opening up an entire new place. But you can't do that, as we've seen in cities where sports teams are failing. It's not necessarily failing because it's not entertaining. It's failing because you're afraid to go to the game or afraid to leave the game, especially with your family.
Yeah, which is primarily who's driving ticket sales.
Right.
We have seen that in a lot of areas.
We've seen players from the Memphis Grizzlies and basketball players say, I would take less money not to play in Memphis.
Yeah, to move it
just
to
because
here.
I know I'd have a target on me because I'm a high earner.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that you probably have a similar situation in
those cities. You know
where
I'm parking, you know where I'm leaving.
And look, I mean, I love Memphis. I love Washington, D.C. Yeah. I love
this is what you could do.
Our lights. Yeah. In Memphis, I feel like you really could do it because I don't feel like you're talking about near as much.
Not nearly as complicated as either with all these different police forces that you've got to coordinate with.
But it's where the line is where you want federal government to get involved. Even for us, I have to say that. I'm not talking about even, like,
I think
where do you draw a line for federal?
I think it's good to kick it off.
Well, in Jordan,
get things back to a good point and then let the local police keep it at that. See if they can keep it at that level. So it's kind of like a surge. She said that.
Do something right
now. You do a surge, and then it goes back to the local police, they now know, they've learned some tactics. If you think you need it again, different times a year where crime goes up higher, bring them back. And again, you establish a positive relationship where this is no longer a partisan issue or a scary kind of like, this is the beginning of martial law. It's not. I mean, it's really talking about how do we get our big cities, our major cities in the United States, back to a safe place for everyone, not just the wealthy people who live in the nice areas, but for everybody who lives and works in those cities. Because the people who live in the nice areas need people to do all the jobs that work in those companies, that clean the hotels. They want to be safe too when they leave work at night.
Well, and Jordan, you think about for how long we've heard the defund the police movements, the things of that nature, which have been a rallying cry for Democrats for years now. Yeah. You still see candidates running on that platform. You see what's something different. You see the mayor of D.C. acknowledging that a surge in resources works. You saw the mayor of Chicago on Morning Joe yesterday, asked three times by Joe Scarborough, listen, if you have unlimited budget and you can do these intervention forces and things that you want to do, would also having 3,000 extra police officers help you get a handle on crime? And he refused to answer the question. But then this is a Politico headline from just 2 days ago. Trump is leaning in on crime. Democrats need a better response and fast. It does seem to some degree that the walls are kind of crumbling in on this false narrative that we've known is bad for years, that if you defund the police, it becomes a better, safer city because the police are the problem.
Yeah. Now, what's interesting, and I haven't followed this part as closely, but you know, initially DC sued. So that would have been the mayor and the chief.
That's why this is so shocking.
So now that the mayor has come out and said, this is great, I don't know if they've dropped the lawsuit.
And if they haven't, they're making the points against it.
Yeah, I mean, so the police commissioner, they've made clear, is still the police commissioner. She's still the head of police. It's not that. But it's interesting. Their initial knee-jerk reaction was, Donald Trump is trying to send in the troops. Right. No. And then now it's, after they got a little taste of it, it's, this is wonderful.
There's even more.
They need to match it up to what they're doing in court.
Right. There's even more from Mayor Bowser we'll get to when we get back from a break. I do want to encourage you right now because, like, there's a lot of topics to hit. Of course, the ACLJ, when we get back, we're going to talk about some of the amazing work the ACLJ is doing. We got three big Supreme Court updates.
Yes.
And we're going to do that in the next segment, so stay tuned. Of course, we're going to continue this conversation as well at 1-800-684-3110. But if you've supported this show, if you liked listening, liked watching, maybe you love our media work, maybe you love our legal work, or both, this is the time to do it. We only got 3 days left in our 35 years of victory drive. And today our legal team is extremely busy. Again, you're going to hear why with these three cases at the Supreme Court. This is the most we've ever done in a single day. We couldn't do it without you. Again, be a part of it. We're going to go through all the reasons why coming up in the next segment. But have your gift doubled today before our deadline at ACLJ.org.
Hey, everyone. This is Jordan Seculo. You've spoken and we've heard you loud and clear. That's why this month we're doing something big. We're proud to announce our brand new ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive. Our legal teams will be focusing on the issues that you, our ACLJ members, have told us matter the most to you, life and religious liberty. We're redoubling our efforts to beat back the radical left's attack on your constitutional religious freedoms and to defend the sanctity of human life. Life and liberty are the cornerstones of our great nation, but they're not guaranteed. When the values we hold dear are under attack, it's up to all of us to take a stand or risk losing them forever. This is not just a call to fund our legal battles. This is your moment to get in the fight. Just as before, every tax-deductible gift will be doubled, dollar for dollar, through the ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive, giving you twice the impact to defend your freedoms and help us fight to literally save lives. Join the ACLJ in the fight to keep America free.
For 35 years, the ACLJ has fought and won for life, liberty, and religious freedom. Since 1990, the ACLJ has established a legacy of victory, defending constitutional rights, protecting innocent life, and standing for freedom. From our offices in Washington, France, Jerusalem, and Pakistan, we've achieved major legal victories for organizations, churches, businesses, and families and individuals just like you. We've stood on Capitol Hill and before the U.S. Supreme Court and traveled all the way to the United Nations, helping to shape laws and policies at the highest levels. Now we face new battles, from saving persecuted Christians to defending pro-life laws at the Supreme Court. But we can't do it without you. This month, every dollar you give is doubled through our 35 years of victory drive. Be part of this critical moment. Give now at aclj.org/win. That's aclj.org/win.
Welcome back to Seculo. Again, before we wrap up this first half hour of the show, and again, we're on for a full hour. If you don't get us on your local station, some of you are listening on terrestrial radio. I know we're still on about 1,000 terrestrial radio stations around the country. And of course, we're available around the world live and on demand later on aclj.org, on our ACLJ app, YouTube, Rumble, however you get your podcasts, we're there. Now, that being said, the work of the ACLJ continues. And it continues because of people like you who support during these specific moments where you can donate and have your donations doubled, which means there's another group of ACLJ supporters who've already pledged. And you can unlock that pledge. You know, it's well over $1 million can be unlocked. So if you can do that today, it would be greatly appreciated, because we only have 3 days left to unlock those pledges. Now, I wanted to kick it over to Jordan and the team here, the legal team, because today is also a very big day for our Supreme Court team, for our legal team, because you may be hearing us talking about what's going on in Washington, D.C. and the crime and all of that. But for Washington, D.C., it also means our legal team is at it. I know you're just up there. And we have a pretty big update.
Yeah, because we're filing three different filings at the Supreme Court just today. Just today at the U.S. Supreme Court. So I was with the team on Tuesday. We were just finalizing all of that. And on different kinds of cases. On the first, it's the, again, these pro-life pregnancy centers in the states, weaponizing those. So that is, again, a major case. And we are fighting to, again, make sure that those pregnancy centers aren't going to be targeted that way. And so you've done it. We've talked about Massachusetts.
For years, yeah.
There was a big win out of Maine on this move with the defunding. But this goes to, again, kind of the defaming of and the state working with private parties to do that. We're also looking at one. This is a vanity plates. Okay, now, we're not talking about the plates like that say Choose Life that you pick, or it's Parrot Head, or Save Our Streams, or Protect Our...
I love those first few you went to. You're like, what are they? You know,
Choose Life, Margaritaville, and Conservation.
Here, there's a lot. In Nashville, we see a lot of Dolly Parton.
Dolly Parton, Elvis. You know,
those are offered by the state itself.
Yeah, often sponsored.
The DMV. Yeah. You can also pay to have, you know, custom
text.
Lettering.
In Virginia, very popular when we were there.
Some places
the
it's more popular.
With the most vanity license plates of this is the state of Virginia.
They made it very easy.
Some make it easier, some make it tougher. Yeah. But the argument here is that when you open that up for people, yeah, there's obscenity laws that come into play, of course. But this person just wanted John 3:16.
Yeah.
And they said no, because that's a Christian message on a government license plate.
My wife had a Christian message on her vanity tag in her first car, which we still have that tag.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not uncommon, especially for kids who want to showcase their faith and do it maybe in a creative way. Everyone has seen these vanity tags for years, but you have states too far.
You can't open up a form. No one's saying to the state they must allow people to be able to do these tags, but if you allow it, you can't discriminate because you don't like someone's view. And especially, as we've seen Logan since the beginning of the ACLJ, they always think they can treat religious speech different than everyone else's speech. And that is not the case.
Yeah, religious speech is not profanity.
It's no different than if you wanted to do Jimmy Buffett, Parrot Head, or something like that on there. It should all be treated the same if you open the form. And the form has to treat everyone equally. You can have rules in place, but those rules have to apply to everyone, and you can't single out and say, well, we'll allow everything but religion, because that's not how a form is opened up. And of course, this is different, again, than the license plate issue, which, by the way, courts have sided with the government speech argument that we did in Summon, that we won 9-0 at the U.S. Supreme Court. Our dad argued because with the Ten Commandments, in that matter, saying, you know, the states can choose what vanity license plates they will allow people to buy. You know, that's a way that usually it goes to charity, and so it's more expensive than just renewing your plate.
Colleges.
And again, some states do this a lot more than others. You might be in a state that this is like very kind of unheard of.
Yeah.
In the South, there's a lot of vanity.
Oh, in Tennessee, I mean, the choices are almost endless of what you can get.
And it says, "In God We Trust" on earth.
Or it doesn't have to.
Right. You can actually You can ask for the one that doesn't, right?
Yes. And in fact, they sent me one once that did not. And then everyone was...
Do you check a box here to say you want that one?
I can't remember.
Yes.
Yes. I think I checked the box.
And then I got one and I had a lot of dirty looks when I didn't have the one that said, God, we trust. They're like, this heathen selected. I was like, I did not. It just wasn't at my car dealer put in the wrong one.
Yes. But so here you're looking at, again, the government opening up a place for speech and then saying, but not that kind of speech. And we're talking about the typical John 3:16. There it is again. You know what it is? People know John 3:16 too well, and Christian or not.
Yeah, and you can't get around
like
it.
Too much of a reminder to people about the Christian faith. I think like if it was Isaiah 4:1, they might think you're talking about a basketball player or something.
Yeah, I think my wife's was like some like girl for him, you know, something like that. You know, something that was, kind of innocuous at the time. But of course, if you were in Alabama, you probably knew.
But Jordan, as we talk about this, many people may be like, well, I mean, I just have the standard license plate. I don't put that much effort into it. This has broader implications, which is why we are engaging in this. While it may seem like it's just license plates, is that big of a deal? Yes, it is, because it is a forum. It is speech.
It's the ripple effect.
It could affect students. It could affect employees. It could affect public spaces that are governed by the government in some way. And so you can't just let something like a license plate case, which may seem novel or kind of goofy on its face because it's about license plates, but it really does have broader implications that we have to make sure we protect when religious freedom is under attack, even in this way.
That's right. And I want to go back to that pro-life issue, because this is not just happening in Massachusetts. This is out of New Jersey. And it's because the New Jersey Attorney General launched investigations into pro-life pregnancy resource centers and accused them, uses the language like, quote, deceptive practices, only because they offer alternatives to abortion and support women during pregnancy. A woman that goes in there knows very quickly they're not going to give you an abortion there. That also doesn't prevent her from leaving and going to get an abortion. It's just saying there are other options. Here they are, and here's how we could help you. If it's adoption, if it's that you feel like you're not going to be able to provide, we can help you with child care. We can help you with how to raise a child, you know, services, even food, baby formula, things like that, through the whole process. And they demonize those because they're an alternative to abortion. And again, that just tells you who is filling their campaign coffers. It's interesting because when the next case is a political case that we'll talk about, who's filling their campaign coffers? It's the abortion industry. And so they want to shut down any competitors. It tells you how effective these PRCs are too. If they weren't effective, they wouldn't be trying to shut them down all the time.
Before we run out of time in this segment, let's get to at least one more.
Okay, so this is a political one. All right. This comes out of actually J.D. Vance running for Senate. It's an FEC case. And just to kind of explain it and make it kind of general to people, there is a ban in time periods of political campaigns, and we're talking about federal campaigns here, when a federal campaign cannot coordinate expenditures with the state Republican Party. Now, think about that for a minute. The state Republican Party, you were nominated sometimes at the state Republican Party's convention or their primary, and so you're the only nominee for the party, and the FEC is saying you can't even decide if you want to coordinate your expenditures. This case would not be saying you must. It's not telling the state Republican Party you have to coordinate with that campaign. Sometimes people get through those primaries that the state party isn't as behind. They wouldn't be forced to coordinate. But look, a lot of this is also technology too. Watch campaigns. You'll see a lot of YouTube videos uploaded that aren't edited. And they are, it's so people can take them without coordinating them. And then edit their own ads to put up. But
marketing
again,
department's always this a step
be,
in front of you.
This should be done. Yep. And the FEC dropped the case. The DNC is actually fighting this one.
All right. We're going to continue that conversation, talk more about that and our other cases going on at the Supreme Court of the United States, as well as, of course, that update from Washington, D.C., Mayor Bowser, and
that's
so much more.
It's all filed today, Logan.
It's all today.
All three of those were filed at the U.S. Supreme Court by the ACLJ today.
Yeah, so you need to go right now. Go to ACLJ.org. We only take about a minute off in this segment. If you don't get us, find us broadcasting live right now on ACLJ.org. Be right back.
For 35 years, the ACLJ has fought and won for life, liberty, and religious freedom. Now we face new battles, from saving persecuted Christians to defending pro-life laws at the Supreme Court. But we can't do it without you. This month, every dollar you give is doubled through our 35 years of victory drive.
Be part of this critical moment. Give now at aclj.org/win. That's aclj.org/win.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome back to Seculo. Jordan Willer over there discussing something there, going over the facts and figures. That's what they do here right now. Phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110 as we have another half hour of the broadcast up on hand. We got 3 days left, by the way, in our 35 years of victory drive. That's three more days for you to donate, give, right now, and all donations will be effectively doubled. That means if you give right now, there is another person ready to unlock their donation. And I want you to do that today. I'm going to keep encouraging you for the next 3 days to do it, because this is those rare times throughout the year where we can offer something like this. You know, most times we were able to say, hey, we'd love you to become a donor. We'd love you to become a champion. This time, if you become a champion or make a donation, individual donation, your first donation as a champion, doubled. Because there is another incredible champion or member ready to unlock their pledge. So do it right now. Go to aclj.org. Of course, we are continuing this conversation about what the ACLJ is doing in Washington, D.C., but also what is happening in Washington, D.C. with crime. We have seen a massive reduction in crime since President Trump put in his new plan that was controversial, for sure. But now you have the mayor of Washington, D.C., coming out and praising President Trump, Pam Bondi, the chief of staff. And listen, we haven't played this one yet. I think we should do this. This is another thank you, really, coming from Mayor Bowser. Again, someone you not expect to be a friendly source to conservatives. And let's hear from Mayor Bowser.
I want to say that I have been personally engaged with Attorney General Bondi and the president's chief of staff, Susie Wiles. And I spoke with the president this afternoon, and I was reminded of our first meeting after his reelection, where we discussed shared priorities for the district. There, I was reminded that the president's interest in cities predates his time in office, and his knowledge of D.C. had significantly increased from the first time he was in the White House. And so we knew that the priorities around safety and investment in infrastructure would be on the president's mind.
You got to give it to Mayor Bowser. I have to say this. There are very few.
That's going to make people mad.
There are very few politicians that would actually tell you how they feel, who would understand that their constituents and that the CNNs and the MSNBCs are not going to be thrilled when you praise the president or any of the opposing party's positions. I would say that for Republicans, too. If you're a Republican, you start saying, yeah, the Democrats are doing a good job. We live such in a divisive world right now, in a divisive country, that you can't even say that. But for her to come on and now name specifically Pam Bondi, Susie Wiles, and talk about how she's working so closely with them and directly with them, and how we've seen such a success rate, 87% of carjackings down, no murders happening on the streets. This is this is kind of a moment. And so that's why I want to say thank you to her. I mean, I know, again, people may not like that, but I don't care. Good for you for actually saying, you know what, I can reach across party lines. And not only that, to do it in a way that is honestly unnecessary. It's unnecessarily grateful. Not that it's unnecessarily grateful. That sounds bad. But as a politician,
in
you
today's
wouldn't,
world,
you
right.
wouldn't have to be this kind.
Well, as a matter of fact, in where she says they discuss shared priorities for the district and acknowledge that President Trump cares about safety in cities that predates him even being in office. That's not something you typically hear, because the narrative is not that President Trump cares about safety. It's that he's xenophobic and he doesn't like immigrants. And he's racist and all of these things. Saying that we knew the president's priorities around safety and investment in the infrastructure would be on the president's mind is actually acknowledging that he has priorities that can be positive for your city, which sounds absurd to think that that's a dangerous political move for her, but that's the reality.
It is. Phone lines are open for you. I want to hear from you. Three lines are taken. Three lines are open. So if you're on hold, I'm going to get to you coming up in this segment, maybe the next segment. 1-800-684-3110, though, if you want to be on the air, it's a great time. Joined with the ACLJ as well. I've been promoting this. But what I've also said is there's thousands of you that watch this show, whether that is while we're live or later on. Maybe you watch on YouTube. Maybe you watch on Rumble. If you're brand new, I don't ask you to donate. I ask you to just subscribe. It's a free way to help get the message out. So do that today. We'll be right back.
For 35 years, the ACLJ has fought and won for life, liberty, and religious freedom. Since 1990, the ACLJ has established a legacy of victory, defending constitutional rights, protecting innocent life, and standing for freedom. From our offices in Washington, France, Jerusalem, and Pakistan, we've achieved major legal victories for organizations, churches, businesses, and families and individuals just like you. We've stood on Capitol Hill and before the U.S. Supreme Court and traveled all the way to the United Nations, helping to shape laws and policies at the highest levels. Now we face new battles, from saving persecuted Christians to defending pro-life laws at the Supreme Court. But we can't do it without you. This month, every dollar you give is doubled through our 35 years of victory drive. Be part of this critical moment. Give now at aclj.org/win. That's aclj.org/win.
Hey everyone, this is Jordan Seculo. You've spoken and we've heard you loud and clear. That's why this month we're doing something big. We're proud to announce our brand new ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive. Our legal teams will be focusing on the issues that you, our ACLJ members, have told us matter the most to you, life and religious liberty. We're redoubling our efforts to beat back the radical left's attack on your constitutional religious freedoms and to defend the sanctity of human life. Life and liberty are the cornerstones of our great nation, but they're not guaranteed. When the values we hold dear are under attack, it's up to all of us to take a stand or risk losing them forever. This is not just a call to fund our legal battles. This is your moment to get in the fight. Just as before, every tax-deductible gift will be doubled, dollar for dollar, through the ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive, giving you twice the impact to defend your freedoms and help us fight to literally save lives. Join the ACLJ in the fight to keep America free.
Welcome back to Seculo. Phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. I want to jump straight into some of these calls because some of you have been on hold for quite a while. Let's go to Bill, who's in Wyoming. Bill, always a great caller. Go ahead.
Thanks for taking my call. I hope I can state this. I'm kind of confused, but I think we need to ask these people who are in leadership of the governments, will we be, instead of defunding the police, redefining what crime is and claiming that President Trump is trying to take over this country, that instead of doing that, applying the laws, will we be having this confusion and argumentation?
Well, in reality, that's because there's a lot of things like prosecutorial discretion that are allowed to be done when it comes into the way that the prosecutors, the district attorneys, they're allowed to make judgment calls about what their priorities because there's limited resources. So, yes, I agree. They need to enforce the laws on the books. But that's even how they get away with things like sanctuary cities, is they make it about a prosecutorial discretion issue rather than they're not actually saying we're not enforcing the law. And that is because their base has told them what their priorities are. And they've gone so far down that lane that it has gotten into the realm of absurdity when you go to a lot of these major cities and you see how bad the crime has gotten because they've been concerned about prosecuting any crime may receive backlash that they are just targeting a specific community or they are just targeting a specific immigration status. When in reality, the job of these mayors, these chiefs of police, their job is to keep their city productive, safe, and clean. And in reality, because of the politics of it, they've gone down to a completely different realm of absurdity.
That's right. And I think that this should be sort of a breath of fresh air that's happening right now. Bill, thanks for calling. I want to move on, take one more call. Let's go to a little call for right now, by the way. Alex is calling in California on line three. Alex.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. I wanted to point out that increasing the amount of a number of police officers are sending in the National Guard troops is not a permanent long-term solution for crime in the cities like Washington, D.C. Because when we look at Japan, we see that it has 20% fewer police officers per capita, but its crime rate is much lower. The principal difference between the two nations is that in Japan, there's a single dominant Western culture which creates social cohesion, so people don't feel alienated and mistreat the society. But in the United States, we emphasize multicultural diversity, and that creates an alienation for people who just can't fit in.
Alex, now when you're watching on Pluto TV, which is a very interesting outlet to watch our show on Salem News Channel, you know, maybe the difference, though, Alex, is that that is how the nation was founded. The nation's founded to be, eventually, be this melting pot. A lot of us came from immigrant families who came to this country seeking better lives. Some of them brought their culture with them. Some abandoned their culture at the border. I don't think there's necessarily a good reason for people to be able to abandon their culture and their beliefs and anything like that. I believe America uniquely has that. I think you maybe have more issues with that and what's going on in Europe, because in Europe you've had historical thousands of years maybe for some of this, and now they're seeing this big issue where that's happening. But in America, that is why we're a little different. It's why we've always been different. So you may feel that way, and I understand that, but not really. You have to be able to go, okay, if you're coming into this country, hopefully there is a sense of pride in the fact that we are this melting pot of cultures. With that, you have responsibility, though, to assimilate at least into the side, like you said, involving crime and how you treat people of other beliefs. And that maybe is a bigger concern we need to address at a school level, at a cultural level.
Well, and to his point, using Japan as an example, one, that style of nationalism would not work for the reason you said. One is that America was a melting pot from the very beginning, because it wasn't the people that started America weren't the original inhabitants of the land in general, and that gets into an entire other discussion.
They were escaping for a different for beliefs. But,
right. We fled of the tyranny of England to seek a better life in the New World. That is not the case for Japan. And we also have seen historically how the nationalism of Japan, something that they still very treasure, can turn into something very poor for the world, such as Imperial Japan, which the United States fought against in World War II. And the imperialistic, nationalistic Japan killed a lot of our countrymen. So I don't know that that is necessarily the path forward for America, nor would it work here.
No, I don't feel like that's very American to begin with. Right. Phone lines are open for you. I think I misspoke and said I'm going to take one more call. I meant one more call just like in this segment. I'm going to take more calls at 1-800-684-3110. I also wanted to go back, though, Jordan, and talk about a big breaking news item that happened yesterday. Of course, if you're following the ACLJ for a number of years, Garrett O'Boyle, who was a whistleblower, you've seen him. We've had him on this broadcast multiple times. There was a gigantic win. It was all overshadowed a little bit yesterday because we were dealing with that unfortunate shooting, of course, that was happening in Minneapolis. So to get to sort of the celebratory nature wasn't that easy. But this is a big moment for our ACLJ supporters. This is a case that they followed for years, and it comes to a complete resolution, which sometimes is harder to say, because sometimes those resolutions we can't talk about as much on the air, because maybe they're not as public, because maybe they were somehow handled privately, or they are handled in some sort of settlement. This is a guy who's getting his job back, getting his security clearance back. This is a big moment for the ACLJ and for the supporters who followed this whistleblower case for a number of years.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's still, I mean, it's a very tough situation. It should never happen to anyone. But it has happened to a number of whistleblowers. Remember, Garrett O'Boyle blew the whistle on a number of things. One was the FBI targeting of pro-life conservatives. Mm-hmm. He also talked about them politicizing law enforcement, someone that came out about that. And he's the one who testified, said, if they will crush you, the FBI will crush you. And so they put him on unpaid leave right after they moved him across country. So he couldn't even get into his storage facility, because it was technically being paid for by the FBI, to get his personal items, just had a newborn child. Typically, these are not resolved the way that we just were able to resolve this. And I just want to go through it real quickly for people. Again, you don't want people in this situation, but when they are, this is why you need the ACLJ to fight alongside them when it's in the news and when it's not in the news, because this took years. He got full back pay with interest, plus all the
years,
plus damages, plus they will look at the time off, paid leave, time off, things like that. That will be added in. He's reinstated. This is very, very rare, even for whistleblowers who successfully...
Sometimes they don't want to go back, even.
Many don't.
Yeah.
But others who believe in the institution and the rule of law do, and he does. He wants to continue to serve. His security clearance is restored. Usually what happens is you get back pay and your security clearance restored. And if you get that, that's like a huge win for whistleblowers. Most
like
don't
Marcus
get
Allen,
it.
We right. got something similar to that for a previous whistleblower. But
And most don't even think about being reinstated. But the fact is, he got his security clearance back. He will be able to retrieve that money with interest. Damages involved. Again, time off, all the vacation time loss, and he is reinstated. He will be able to begin that job he was supposed to, but it will actually, Logan, the way they're setting it up, it will count as like if he was there for seniority purposes, like he was working because he was on unpaid leave. He never actually left the FBI. So he fought, we fought alongside him to make him as whole as possible in this situation, and I think this is great for future whistleblowers to know that if you really believe that you need these whistleblower protections, which Congress has, we can defend them in court. We can defend them in negotiations with the entities themselves. But let's also thank the new leadership of these entities at the FBI, Kash Patel, and Dan Bongino, and at the Department of Justice with Pam Bondi. They went against the usual department practice, which is we don't care if you blew the whistle on something we like or don't like or is wrong or not. If you blow the whistle, we're going to come down on you. They're changing that idea in Washington to say, you know what? If you see something wrong, you should be able to go tell Congress, which provides the funding without fear of retribution. So we have won this. It sets almost like a new precedent up for future whistleblowers. It doesn't mean they won't have to fight, but like we said, that's why the ACLJ exists. I mean, you think about this situation. He was on unpaid leave. So who could have had the legal expertise to represent him at this level with both the Biden administration and the second Trump administration and the negotiations and the court cases throughout that entire period? A law firm can't do that just for free. We're able to do that at the ACLJ because of your donations and because of your financial support. That's why Garrett Boyle had the full force of the American Center for Law and Justice behind him. It's because of these matching challenges. It's because of the donations you make.
Yeah, we even said this. I mean, he put out a great statement thanking our team here at the ACLJ. Who knows if we're going to hear from him again? Hopefully we'll have him on the broadcast, but you know what? He's back at it, back at work. Okay, you know what? They don't usually put a lot of those guys who are working there on the media. And you know what? That's good. You celebrate that. You know, these are big moments. It's like when some of our people graduate out, if you will. Tulsi Gabbard's now the Director of National Intelligence. Of course, she was on this show multiple times a week. Pretty amazing when those moments happen. We're going to take your calls in the next segment. Support the work of the ACLJ. As Jordan said, ACLJ.org. Do it today. Have your gifts doubled. You only got 3 days left on our victory drive. We'll be right back on more on Seculo.
Hey, everyone. This is Jordan Seculo. You've spoken and we've heard you loud and clear. That's why this month we're doing something big. We're proud to announce our brand new ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive. Our legal teams will be focusing on the issues that you, our ACLJ members, have told us matter the most to you, life and religious liberty. We're redoubling our efforts to beat back the radical left's attack on your constitutional religious freedoms and to defend the sanctity of human life. Life and liberty are the cornerstones of our great nation, but they're not guaranteed. When the values we hold dear are under attack, it's up to all of us to take a stand or risk losing them forever. This is not just a call to fund our legal battles. This is your moment to get in the fight. Just as before, every tax-deductible gift will be doubled, dollar for dollar, through the ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive, giving you twice the impact to defend your freedoms and help us fight to literally save lives. Join the ACLJ in the fight to keep America free.
For 35 years, the ACLJ has fought and won for life, liberty, and religious freedom. Since 1990, the ACLJ has established a legacy of victory, defending constitutional rights, protecting innocent life, and standing for freedom.
From our offices in Washington, France, Jerusalem, and Pakistan, we've achieved major legal victories for organizations, churches, businesses, and families and individuals just like you. We've stood on Capitol Hill and before the U.S. Supreme Court and traveled all the way to the United Nations, helping to shape laws and policies at the highest levels. Now we face new battles, from saving persecuted Christians to defending pro-life laws at the Supreme Court. But we can't do it without you. This month, every dollar you give is doubled through our 35 years of victory drive. Be part of this critical moment. Give now at aclj.org/win. That's aclj.org/win.
Welcome back to Seculo. We are going to take your phone calls, and we have some lines open right now at 1-800-684-3110 as we start to wrap up. I can't believe we're already here. End of August. 3 days left. And look, we have 3 days left in this drive, 35 years of victory drive. And I want to say thank you to everyone who's donated. But also, unfortunately, this ends on a holiday weekend. And we know that a lot of you, I guess it's fortunate for all of us who are getting a day off work and get to do whatever you want to do, have a family weekend. We also know you're probably not going to be watching this show. You're probably not going to be following what's going on because it's over a weekend. So if you want to give, this is a great time to do it. I'm going to really push it today and tomorrow because after that, we know you're clocking out and you're not coming back until Tuesday. So with that, I'm going to encourage you to become an ACLJ supporter, an ACLJ champion. If you become a champion, that's someone that gives on a monthly automatic donation like a membership. Your first donation, though, will still be doubled if it's done in this month. So you need to do that. If you've ever thought about becoming a champion, of course you can cancel at any time. It's tax deductible. But actually, I'm going to kick it over to Greg, who is calling, who is an ACLJ champion. And one of the good parts of being an ACLJ champion, I always say this, is you get bumped to the front of the line. So if you're not, even if you haven't been on hold the longest, you tell our phone screener, they confirm you're a champion, boom, you're up to the top. Phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110, but let's kick it over to Greg in California. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'd just like to bring up the point that all the progressive DAs across the country are deciding what's a crime and what isn't. And they're even changing a felony to a misdemeanor. And in California, Newsom fought against the Proposition 47 to repeal it and change it. And now the grocery stores, 2 aisles worth of things locked up. You have to have them open the gate to get in. But the DAs are the biggest thing, and the left cheats every way they can.
Look, that's in a good place, Greg. A lot of times these places are shutting down. You're seeing some of these stores. You know, you're right. You go into a Walgreens in San Francisco or a Walgreens in New York City, and half of it is locked behind some sort of glass shelf. And you're not talking about high-end products here.
Well, and Jordan, I want to bring that up because Greg brings up the DA issue and something we've been sounding the alarm about for a long time, but it also kind of plays into something President Trump said just 2 days ago at that, I think it was a record-breaking cabinet meeting. How long it was because it was they were live like the whole time. It was 3.5 hours.
Yeah. Longer than The Godfather.
But what Greg brings up is these progressive DAs, and we know many of those are funded, especially in places that you never even hear about on the news. But it was a complete philosophy and ideology change, largely backed by the Open Society Foundation. The George Soros money was pushing a lot of these races. We also saw what President Trump talked about during that. He said that there should be a RICO investigation into the way that the Soros Foundation has been funding the street protest. And that also sets up a very interesting thing where street protests, we know that they're largely not organic in many ways. They may start off as something else and then organic people then join it. But when you have that happening in some of these cities where then the DA was picked for their philosophy and ideology and supported by the same people that may be funding that, that does bring up very severe issues within the way that it's disrupting to our society.
Yes, and I think that when it comes down to it, there is prosecutorial discretion, you know, DAs have and cities have. So if they feel like there's one area of crime that they need to focus on the most, it's the biggest problem, we're going to focus on this, and maybe we're not going to focus on, we're going to treat harder drugs differently than we're going to treat marijuana and things like that. What is the issue that they're dealing with the most? It's plaguing the community. But what we saw with these activist DAs is that basically they kind of ignored crime or politicized crime or racialized crime. and made it all about politics of, well, we can't bring too many, you know, charges against this crime because this group is overwhelmingly the people who are being arrested for doing that crime. Instead of just saying, let's get the bad guys and keep people safe, that's what the police bringing them in. Our job is to prosecute them and prosecute them to the full extent that the law allows. So I think what we're seeing with the mayor's comment and is kind of the what is the response to the American people? The media told us for how long that this was martial law. This is authoritarianism coming, and the vast majority of Americans support this. So and it's only happening at a very small scale right now, and they're saying, wow, if this can happen in 2 weeks in Washington, D.C., how quick could this turn around Portland? How quick could this turn around San Francisco and some places if you just have this surge that, you know, lasts for a few weeks and then local police feel emboldened again because the bad guys know, hey, the surge can return.
What is the process for that? Is it getting approval from the states to say, yes, we're cool with this? When it comes, because Washington, D.C. is different. We've said this. They had no choice. But if you have to go into Chicago.
There's some interesting legal issues around
this.
That's
what I'm curious.
I mean, again.
We only got 3 minutes. So.
There are, the President of the United States, as the leader of the country, has a duty to protect citizens of the country.
So there's some wiggle room.
And so, and then you look at the National Guard versus State Guards, all these kind of issues that you're at play. Honestly, what I would hope is that these Democrat mayors would say, let's not politicize this one, though. It's almost impossible for them to do that with Donald Trump. And let's just say, you know what? Hey, it worked in D.C. We're going to keep an eye on it. We don't want martial law in our city. But if we need a surge that brings violent crime down and less murders and less people being killed, why can't we work together on this? And then they tell us when they're going to leave. They'll leave, and we'll see. If when they leave, it will be interesting to know if the crime immediately goes up. And if it does, then it says, you know what? Hey, we have a solution to this.
Yeah, I think Mayor Bowser's comments actually go a long way to helping a lot of those.
They're just honest. States and cities. She's just being honest with the numbers.
A lot of the states and the cities can now go, okay, well, she said it, so why can't we accept it as well?
Well, and as you mentioned, the easiest way for this to happen would be a governor of a state requesting the assistance or federalization of their National Guard from other states being right. able to assist. But because of the blue state issue, a lot of those aren't going to happen.
And remember, when the crime goes down, you're no longer reliant on those politicized liberal DAs. Because what Mayor Bowser's saying is not that we made 87% more arrests.
Or convictions even.
Right? For carjacking. It's because of the surge of police and security on the streets, there was 87% less acts of carjacking. That means no one had to be arrested. No one had to be prosecuted. The DAs politicizing crime are taken out of it completely because those crimes aren't being committed. So I want to make that clear. She's not saying it's 87% more that we caught. She's saying 87% less carjackings that were occurred the same time last year.
And if those numbers go down, then when the National Guard leaves, it's more manageable for the police force they have.
And the DA.
And the DA, because then investigation time goes down, response time goes down, people in general are more safe in their community. So I think that Mayor Bowser there is proving to some point that getting it under control first can have long-term effects for the safety of your population.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, we only got 1 minute left here, so I'm going to take this minute of the time to tell you it is really important that you give if you can. Of course, that we know it's a tough time for a lot of people. Don't do it if you can't. We're not asking you to stretch yourself. But if you can give, and you like what you've heard here, you like this show, you like what we're doing in legal cases, you like that there's 3 filings at the Supreme Court today on some of these top topics. You like that we worked hard for that whistleblower, Garrett O'Boyle. Look at the results from that, because we celebrate 35 years of victory and we check off new victories each and every day. And we're going to move forward to another 35 years of victory, but we can't do it without you. So think about it, pray about it, scan the QR code, go to ACLJ.org. All donations for the rest of the month are doubled. That means they are matched by an ACLJ supporter ready to unlock their pledge. Again, just today, 3 Supreme Court cases filed. Be a part of that journey with us. Go to ACLJ.org. Give if you can, if it's your first time, if it's your 1,000th time. And we'll talk to you tomorrow.
For 35 years, the ACLJ has fought and won for life, liberty, and religious freedom.
Now we face new battles, from saving persecuted Christians to defending pro-life laws at the Supreme Court. But we can't do it without you. This month, every dollar you give is doubled through our 35 years of victory drive. Be part of this critical moment. Give now at aclj.org/win. That's aclj.org/win.